Okay. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to our special meeting. This is Tuesday, May 31st, 2016. Our start time is right around 3:30. Forgive us for that. For the record, we do have a quorum. Council Member Smuckler is en route. We'll get going, but we do have a quorum, so we'll call the meeting to order. This special meeting is for an advisory board interviews for the Tourism Business Improvement District, or fondly known TBID, and we have the FY 2016-17 budget study session following the TBID interviews. With that, we have two openings, a hotelier member at large and a member at large. And if we can go ahead and invite our applicants up, we'll have you come up to the table over here, and we'll start with a brief introduction. Welcome, folks. Thanks for coming up. Please relax. This is really pretty informal. I think we've had some great conversations on interviews before, and sometimes it feels like, oh, this is an interview, but hopefully it's fairly relaxed for you all. But this is a very important advisory board for us. This is our Moore Bay Tourism Business Improvement District. It advises City Council on the administration and use of our Moore Bay Tourism Business Improvement District funds. The board recommends project to the City of Moore Bay to promote tourism and to directly benefit the city's lodging industry. And with that, I'm just going to start from the end this way, and if you could just do a brief introduction, and then we'll start with questions from our council. I'll probably start with Councilmember Johnson at the left, and then work my way this way. Hopefully, Councilmember Smuckler will be here just in time to start with that. And Ms. Jern, if you'll start off for us.
And I'm finally smarter, but I go by Maggie.
Thank you. Oh yeah, there should be a button right here, all you, for everybody right here. Just pull that up to the up position. There you go.
Okay. Is that working now?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I filed as Margaret, but I go by Maggie. And my husband and I started a vacation rental property management company about 5 years ago in the area. We do Los Osos, Morro Bay, Cayucas, with the largest amount being in Morro Bay. And the reason I qualify for the hotelier is about 2 years ago, we took on the management of the condos down in the Embarcadero that do pay into the TBID, which has been a great experience for me. We have six condos down there. If you guys are familiar with the ones that are down by Smoobage and next to the aquarium. So we manage that. Brent encouraged me to apply because he thought I would bring a mixed view of things because I do vacation rental. I know some of the hoteliers probably don't like me. So we take away some of their business. But I think it's really important. Tourism, you know, as you guys I'm sure have seen, the revenues from vacation rentals is growing exponentially in the area. And so I'm excited. I served briefly on the Los Osos. I live in Los Osos, and I served on the TBID over there. They're the counterpart of the county. And really enjoyed that. Had to drop out of that due to demands of the business, but now things have calmed down or leveled off for us a bit. So I'm very interested in it. So. And that's one of my favorite songs, by the way. My new ringtone.
So this is a casual interview.
Exactly. So I don't know if there was more you wanted to hear about me.
Just whatever introduction you want to start out with.
30 years in the Bay Area in the corporate world, primarily in the IT world, and then came down here to retire. And here I am working harder than I ever did. So that's the end of my story.
All right. Thank you, Maggie.
I have Paul Van Burton, longtime resident and business owner of Morro Bay. 9 of 10 kids, an immigrant from the Netherlands. My family's obviously been a big integral part of the community here, with my brother Stan owning the Hofbräu and stuff. And I live in San Luis Obispo. I think I'm qualified because, I'm very interested, a vested interest in this town, I think. Obviously, I have 25 employees that depend on the success of the restaurant, and it's important, I think, for the and TBID to me has really, I think, helped a lot to increase the tourism in Morro Bay, and as the I would say the economy is improving, I hope to see, you know, these things improve and for everybody in the business here. But you know, I think I can be a big help with it and give some good advice.
Great, Paul. Thank you. Joel.
Hello, I'm Joel Clay. I'm actually the golf guy, we'll just say. I've been doing the golf business for 30 years as of last week. I started out in Chalk Mountain Golf Course in Atascadero. I was born and raised in Atascadero. I've been over in Morro Bay since August 21st of 14, operating Morro Bay Golf Course, and really love it and enjoying it, and it's just a really special place. I have a good history in the T-Bids and in all of the tourism marketing. I started out in 91 working in Atascadero with the Chamber of Commerce before T-Bids were really around, and we had a promotion started a promotion committee and actually raised funds to promote Atascadero. And then I was also sat on the board for the countywide Visit San Luis Obispo County. I was asked to be on that board and spent about 3 years on that on the board. When it transitioned into the county T-Bid, I was not qualified to be on the board anymore, so I got released. So looking forward to an opportunity to help promote tourism in Morro Bay.
Great, Joel. Thank you. Mr. Patel.
Afternoon, everybody. My name is Paresh Patel. I'm from England, moved in 2014 to Salinas, and this year in Morro Bay, we just bought a property on the main street. And I've been in business, in hospitality business since 2014. Prior to that, I'm a balloon artist, I'm a senior accountant, and IT consultant. And I have been giving my service to my own community back in London as a executive committee member, honorary treasurer, and honorary vice president of the community since 1996. And what I found over here is like giving out my services to the community. See, something new can come up. Anything new with my ideas, with your ideas can come together. And we can promote, bring more money in, bring more tourists in the area. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Paresh. Mr. Patel. And with that, Dana, we did have one more applicant that we did receive some correspondence on her absence, and I wonder if you can just go ahead and inform both the audience and council on the status of Ms. Caldwell.
Right. Catherine Caldwell had applied for a position on the Tourism Business Improvement District Board and unfortunately received a jury summons. So she called me about noon today and informed me that she was called to report at 1 o'clock this afternoon to San Luis Courthouse. And in her email that she had sent prior to that, she said, if I am called for jury duty service, I'll ask the City Council proceed with the other applicants. They have excellent qualifications. In this case, I don't think the city can make a bad choice. In our conversation, she said that she was interested in some other boards, so she would look at that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Dana, thank you very much for that. And with that, we can go ahead and start with questions. I know Councilmember Smuckler is on his way, so and Mr. Patel, I understand you have some early engagement, so maybe we can start with questions with you first, and then we'll work down the way with all the rest of the applicants, and if Ms. Councilmember Johnson can start off with questions.
Sure. Okay, great. First of all, thank you so much for applying, and I think it takes a lot to throw your name in on this and sit here at the table like you are doing, so I appreciate it. Also, I try to touch base with people prior to this interview, but because of the holiday weekend, it got away from me, so sorry that I didn't get a chance to call you and talk a little bit on the phone beforehand. And lastly, now that we've identified all of you, you know, there are two spots for applicants, so we'll keep our eye on you, like it or not, and, you know, maybe get you to do something else if it doesn't work out for you tonight, but you're probably not going to go very far because you're all highly talented. We often have this problem in Morro Bay, and I'm glad we have it, but it makes it hard because you'd like to take everyone. So my question will be for all of you, but if we just want to start with Mr. Patel, then he can, you know, head on if he needs to. Okay. So this past year, the city has been working on integrating the Tourism Bureau into the city function fully. So it was, I'm not sure how much you know, but I'll just kind of briefly, and you can always ask for follow-up information. So for the last several years, the Tourism Bureau existed as its own 501c3 organization, or 501c6 organization. And they were basically the contract the city used to do tourism marketing. So over this past year, through discussions with the stakeholders on the TBID and with City Council and staff recommendation, the decision was made to bring the function in-house. So that was one that at first, well, it wasn't something that all the hoteliers agreed with, certainly at the time. So we've made the switch. We're moving forward. There'll be some changeover. But right now, that's where we're headed, to integrate the function entirely into the city so we can better promote the city. So it was all an idea to make sure we focus on the TOT revenue, best promote the city, and work together as a team as closely as possible, knowing that we all rely on the revenue. So knowing that there's going to be a transition with the function of the tourism marketing being under the city's umbrella, I would love to hear your thoughts on that moving forward.
Bringing tourism under city umbrella is one of the good things, especially when the funds are totally allocated towards the promotion of the city tourism altogether. Because whatever the funds have been collected past so many years has been strictly promoted for the promotion of the tourism. If it comes under the city, there will be a scare scenario that city might be using some of the funds for something else, which is not for the tourism, for promoting something else, that's why the hoteliers feel a bit scared. The 100% of the funds has not been for the promotion, rather than just diverted the funds to other section. But in that case, I would say, yes, it can be. You can divert some of the funds, but that has to be directly or indirectly related to the promotion of the tourism, not for something else, which is like supporting the, say, example, social service or something like that, like improving the roads or inputting new festivals, just bringing more. You spend some money to bring some more money.
Right. That's the hope, right? Okay, great. Thank you. So did you want each?
Yeah, I think we could just kind of continue the same way, and each applicant can answer the question.
Okay,
yeah,
got it.
That'd be
okay.
Great.
All right, so we'll do everyone with that question.
Thank
okay, thanks.
Yep.
Let's make sure. Okay, so Joel's next.
Just repeat it real quickly. I just want to make sure, because I don't want to get off track.
Okay. So if you've been following along with city business, you see that we have integrated the entire tourism function into the city's structure. So we absorbed basically the function that was happening kind of on a dotted line way toward the city. So now we're all working under the same umbrella, including city staff person working as the tourism manager, and then reporting all the way up eventually to the city manager, where before the Bureau was a separate entity. So just sort of wanting to get some feedback on that change and how you see that moving forward.
So I think that it's a good change if there's some economy of scale, and I think there can be some savings here on the city's end, but we still, my understanding, it's an enterprise fund, if that's correct, so the money is still set aside for tourism, so that would eliminate the possibility of using, you know, those funds for anything but tourism, so it's pretty much the same. So, I think it's a good thing in that sense, but we're still, you know, I'm used to the golf program for the county is an enterprise fund, so I work with that closely and understand the function of that. So I think it's definitely can work fine.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Well, I agree. There was some concern, again, if you look at, the buzz around town is that the city is going to use that money to do whatever they like with it. Again, like I said earlier, I think it was important that the TBID has been a benefit because, as you know, most of the communities in this county and its surrounding counties and its parts of California outspend us probably 3-1 in tourism. So we've always been in a challenge, and we've always been, you know, kind of off the beaten path. So it's always been a challenge to get people to come here to Morro Bay, you know. It's not like in Pismo Beach. I know for a fact that one property in Pismo Beach takes as much TBID money in, or TOT tax, excuse me, as all of the hotels in Morro Bay combined. So it's a big disparity, you know. So it's a challenge, and we need to try to stand out, you know. Again, I don't want to get off track, but I think the fact is that, you know, I think it'd be a good thing. It's an organizational thing. I think if we stay to task, you know, I think it can be a benefit. So a lot of challenges, though.
Okay, great. Thank you. Then,
Leslie. Yeah. What I've observed and what I know, and I don't pretend to be intimately familiar with it, is that with the separate tourism bureau, there's been a lot of focus, very good focus, and I think very effective focus on advertising and marketing and PR and getting people to recognize Morro Bay. What I believe is you only get the return visitors if when they come they have a really good experience. So my hope, you know, I don't really have an opinion one way or the other as far as whether this is going to be better or worse, but my hope is that if it's money, that money gets looked at, you know, that pile of money gets spent in a more holistic approach to it, in that we improve things in the city using those dollars that will draw people here and make them want to stay longer and give them things to do. So I don't know what the budget's going to look like. That's one reason I'm very interested in participating in it and having some say in that, because certainly, you know, will people feel better if they're driving down a street that doesn't have potholes in it and have a better walk away with a better feeling? Yeah. But I just feel like there's more that needs to be done to really make – you can advertise and get people here. If they come and they don't – they go, eh, yeah, it's okay, don't need to come back, then there's where a lot of you – you know, where you lose them. So I'm hoping that the budget takes a more holistic approach to that.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, great. That's it. Thank you very much.
Great, thanks. And just for the record, Councilmember Smuckler is among us and joined the conversation, so welcome. And Matt, you want to start off?
Yeah. All right. Hi, guys. Thanks for coming. Thanks for going through this. Here's a question for you, Mr. Patel. We'll start with you again, if you don't mind. By now, your time, all of you in the city, long and short time, how do you see the TBID functioning? I think you understand how TBID functions just in its its parameters, but then looking at the TBID specifically for Morro Bay, how do you see it operating now, and when? What would you do to improve it?
I'm relatively new for this environment in Morro Bay, but I'll keep a close observation how it's been functioned. But as far as I'm concerned, from my experience, I'm very new, so I cannot express myself or put any words towards it.
Okay.
I think it's been ran pretty well so far, and just what I've looked at, I mean, we just need to make sure we stay on point, and there's a great marketing plan that was put together, and it looked, you know, when I went through it, it looked really solid. We just need to make sure that we follow that plan, and we still also have to be, you know, eyes open and flexible when things change. So, you know, it's hard to sit here and just say there's one thing to really improve. We just have to really watch the market trends and make sure we're staying on point and following that direction. I think the last 5 or 6 years, the groundwork was really laid quite well.
Well, I concur, but I think also that you have to be fiscally, not conservative, but you have to watch what your expenses are. So I think, again, you become, you know, a little more scrutinized. You have to watch, again, you know, your budget, making sure that, you know, operating expenses, just like running a business, is very important, you know what I mean? I think that's very crucial to it. And I think maybe coming under the city umbrella, maybe that'll help. But, again, you know, maybe you have another set of eyes to look at it. That's the way I think of it. So I think continue on, again, it's a success of Morro Bay, a success for everybody involved and all the residents of Morro Bay.
I don't really feel like I have much more to add to what I would agree with what they're saying, and I think it's been successful. Again, what I mentioned earlier is I think the PR money, and but when I look at the budget, there's a huge expenditure towards the PR and marketing that's going on. I think that has to continue to be scrutinized, and I'd like to see a balance be, and I'm hoping that's what it brings happens when it comes under the city council, is bring a balance of improving the city itself along with just attracting people here. So I think that is the intent of a bid, so hopefully that's how it will go, will work going forward.
All right, thanks. And I'll start with you again, Mr. Patel, trying to be mindful of things. So you all bring a unique perspective and experience as applicants, which is very attractive for us. And you did allude to, Joel, you were saying, hey, Paul, you were talking about very much like a business. We have to be able to, there's some flexibility, then we have to be mindful of the budget itself. So, Mr. Patel and all the applicants, if you can explain, first year going in this, maybe you can just explain what you hope to get out of that from your experience, understanding this is going to be, you know, kind of a learning evolution as well. And then for us, it's also a learning evolution. We're going through this transition. So maybe you can identify what you're hoping to get out of the first year as an applicant, all of you.
Like being a first year, it's like a stepping stone, and we should have a solid foundation where we can build up a Morobe itself into a new heights where we can promote with the funds what is available and attract more good tourism rather than just ordinary tourism. Mm-hmm. And where people can come and not only stay for one or two, but like for a week, spend a good money in the city, where it boosts the economy for us as well to bring more funds for the treasury.
Thank you. Joel.
You know, my purpose of doing this is, one, it's to serve, but also the relationships. And when I think about it, you know, we're really in the people business and doing about people. So just being able to sit here and talk with Paul and be able to be here, you know, that's part of the whole process. So, you know, on the personal level, that's what I expect. You know, that's what I'm here to do. Simple as that.
Thanks.
Yeah, and there's not much more to say. I mean, it's a learning experience for everybody, really, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? And, you know, I've been in business for 30-plus years, and there's challenges every single day, you know, with your employees, you know, with your customers, you know. And I think it's, you know, we're responsible for what we do in our own business. We're responsible for what we do in our own city. So that's what I think.
Great. Thanks, Paul.
I feel like it's... For me personally, I know the information's out there, but I don't sit down and dig through it. And so for me personally, I think will kind of force me to do that and understand the trends that are here and see how that'll better serve my business. That's why I make more money, so you make more money. Yeah, a little self-serving, I'll admit it. But also to really get in and understand how those dollars are being spent. And for me, too, to be, you know, I want to be part of a community and to volunteer. This is something I feel like fits me, you know, to go out and do something else that I'm not involved. This is my life, is tourism. So for me, it was a fit, which is what made me want to join. And again, hopefully I'll learn a lot that will promote Morro Bay and my business. So.
Great. Mr. Hay?
Sure. Thank you. And my thanks to you all for applying, first of all, and then also for showing up today. So I have maybe a two-part question, and it's this. Tourism is basically the economic engine of the community right now. In your opinion, as you see it from a distance, not being on the board at present, what is the greatest tourist asset that we have right now that we need to capitalize on? And then what, in your viewpoint, is the single asset that you think we need to improve on because we're not possibly meeting the needs of tourists out there to attract them? So the greatest asset and possibly the one that offers the greatest opportunity for improvement.
the greatest asset we have got at the moment is Morro Rock and the wildlife sanctuary. What do you got around the wildlife sanctuary also? It's mainly the summer time only, between, say, I'll say end of April to maybe end of September, maybe stretching to October. But rest of the 4 or 5 months is pretty dead. We need to promote, look into those 4 months or 5 months, not to be busy, but like getting an average 40% more or 30% more tourism in those months, where we can business can also get more into it, or like offering a new kind of festival, a winter festival that brings people more in. And we have Morro Bay's got a lot of space, a lot of areas where we can promote things.
Thank you.
I think the probably greatest asset is why we're here. I mean, it's a beautiful place and just the outdoor feel. I mean, we have, you know, an ocean, which is not every community has that. Obviously, we have a rock and we have beaches there, you know, so that's our asset, and just being outside. I mean, the bottom line is the with the hotels, and no offense to the hotel owners, it's really just a box with a bed in it. And you come here to do things and to be outside and to go around. So you know, we have that. We just really have to make sure we're promoting it right. And the shoulder seasons are going to be the key for that promotion. So probably when I looked at Morro Bay, when I was looking at doing business here, probably one of the things that I think is the downside, and you got to be careful when you say this, is basically the lack of growth. And I know in 1976 I saw there was 750 rooms in town, and now there's 916. You know, you're talking 30, 40 years, and we really haven't had any growth in that sense. So, I mean, that's just, you know, something that's not politically correct sometimes to say in certain environments, but, you know, we need to look at that. So we're a little stagnant.
Great. Paul?
The greatest asset, again, is Morro Bay. I mean, I look at, you know, on the water every single day, and I'm in that restaurant. And the fishing boats, obviously, the things I've seen change a lot, I think, is the activity out on the water, you know, paddleboarding, kayaking. And the asset is there's a drought. There's water in Morro Bay. We have a bay. I mean, we can compete now, I think, with any city along the coast. Pismo Beach is great. It has a beach, but we have a bay, and we're so unique in what we have. And I think we need to capture that and make sure that we get the word out, that people understand, see what we have here. It's pretty self-evident. I mean, it's hard to really, you know, argue with that. But what can we do to improve? Is that what the question was? Or reiterate that, please.
Yeah. So what's our greatest asset,
right,
you know, from a tourism standpoint? And then what might be our least attractive asset that we could improve on with regards to tourism?
Well, I was just at a town hall meeting for redesigning the Centennial Staircase. And I think that's really important. And I think tying the downtown into the waterfront, and I think that's very key to it, you know. And I think trying to pull people from the waterfront to downtown, vice versa, you know. And it's a challenge. It's going to take money, and the city is really, you know, it's hard for us to you know, have enough money and budget wise to do that. But we have to think forward, you know, and think ahead, excuse me. And I think the things that we need to do is the aquarium. I mean, my God, that's going to be huge for us. I think that in itself, I'm confident, can bring probably at least another 15% increase in business to this town. I mean, but look at it. I mean, it's right on the bay. I mean, what I guess we're proposing is the aquarium out of Avila Beach, right? Partnership with them. So I think that's huge. You know what I mean? That's what I think, just improving that.
Thank you.
Maggie?
I agree. I think Paul...
Can you pull the mic over a little bit more?
Thank you. I think Paul did a great job of describing, and I agree with all my colleagues as far as what is our attraction. It's Morro Bay. It's the quaint fishing town. You know, in my business, I probably talk to my customers more than than maybe even a hotelier does, because they call, why should I come to Morro Bay? I'm thinking about Pismo Beach. I'm like, oh, no. And then I get all the feedback afterwards, like, oh, this was fabulous. I'm coming back. It's the coolest place I've ever been. So that fills you up, you know. But it is all about the activities and the beauty and the quaintness of it. And so I would really hate to see us do anything to lose that. But I totally agree with Paul on tying that Embarcadero up to here. The area where, you know, one time I heard someone who was involved in the tourist industry in Hawaii say, we don't want just tourists. We want tourists that are going to come spend a lot of money. So they were all about focusing in their promotion to do activities where, you know, entice people to spend more money. And I think we have that. I don't know if we promote it enough and make that available and obvious enough to people in our advertising. I think we do subtly, so maybe there's improvements there. You know, we all talk about the weekend traffic that we get. I would love to see something be able to be done that we could begin to attract small business conventions, because they travel during the week. Is there anything we could be doing? And I know there's been some good work on hosting, like, writers conferences and things like that, which is great. And then, you know, I think just diversity in our culinary scene and in our shopping scene. I think we've become very, unfortunately, and I know the city council doesn't have much control over that. People open stores that open stores, but I'd love to see there be more things to attract people who are here for higher-end shopping and higher-end eating and things like that. So, again, not sure there's that much influence. So those are the things I would come up with. That and, like, a big fan up here that could blow all the fog out on those foggy days, like Amgen.
Good. Thank you. Thank you all.
That's why
they're
here.
Except for the Valley people who come with us.
Trust me.
Noah.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you, and I apologize for being late. I do just want to follow up a little bit on the discussion about how to better collaborate or make connections with different sectors, different business sectors, whether it's restaurateurs or other areas within the city that we might not have established better relations with, or also talking with the county. And as a board member on the Tourism Bureau, how would you approach that and try to better those connections and the synchronicity there and tie it all together as much as possible as we're going forward and improve those relationships? I'm not sure whose turn it was to lead.
I know we've been starting with Mr. Patel. We're kind of trying to be mindful.
No, that's fine. I'll find them all.
Yeah,
we can
try
anyway.
All right. Sure. Thank you.
Right. With interacting with mixed business like hoteliers, restaurants, or retailers, as a tourism committee board member, we should be inviting all the groups of business people, letting know the promotions or whatever it is, what we are coming out with for the future or the future agenda, and get their ideas how it to be approached, and also like what impact will have on their businesses. So we are promoting, say, example, in December, a week for the Morro Bay Lights for 1 week. Now that will bring how much, what percentage of tourism will be coming in for the 1 week, and how it will be impacting all the different businesses. And that the input will be like given by us, like retailers or hoteliers or restaurant owners. And where the money has to be coming in rather than going out more. The more money we make, the more money we can give you back.
Thank you.
This is an interesting question. I could probably talk for 15 minutes on this. But one of the things that comes to mind right off the bat is when I was on the countywide Visit Slow board and we switched to the TBID, the first thing I told Chuck, and I actually made the motion to hire Chuck Davidson, who's the director, is duplication is a waste of money. And because all the cities are doing basically have their own TBIDs and different tourism things, and then we have the countywide one. So, really to make sure we're not duplicating, and that's really key. So that communication with the countywide board is important. Same with him in the state Tourism Board. So basically, it works like a funnel, which you guys have probably seen the slides. And as we, you know, this funnels into our communities. And once Chuck gets them to our county, we need to get them to our cities. So it's really important that we focus on that, you know, and that's key. But marketing is in that sense, is different too for the different businesses in town. And a good example is I got a call last night from a friend said, "Listen, hey, we're going to Los Olivos. I want you to go, try this restaurant I was at last year." And so basically, because they had a good experience in that restaurant, we're going to go spend $500 or $600 or $700 out of town just because a good waitress. Really, what it boiled down to, or going to a good wine tasting room. So there's a lot of different aspects as far as marketing, promotion, and how you work together. Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's back to what you said is it comes down to word of mouth. I mean, he was yells the loudest, you know, waves his flag out there, says, you know what, we want to be successful. How do we differentiate ourselves? But it's hard because, like I said, you have three different entities working for the same goal, right? How do we stand out? I don't know. You know what I mean? Do we work in concert with those different entities to accomplish those goals? You know what I mean? So it's a challenge. I really think it's a challenge. And I think what we should do is continue doing what we're doing and outsmart them. That's what I think.
Maggie.
I don't really have much to add to that. I agree that, you know, now that we've got the county-wide TBID, it's very important to stay, you know, in alignment with them and make sure our voice is being heard through our membership on that committee. But as far as, you know, working with the other businesses here, quite honestly, that's what's always felt a little bit unfair about this TBID is that on the back of the hoteliers for the last since it's been approved has been many other businesses have benefited from that without having that. You know, we get people choking all the time when they say, oh, my gosh, a 14% tax. So I think it is important. I'm not saying go tax them. I'm saying I think it's important that the heads and beds be the most important effort of ours, but you don't attract them if they don't see the whole picture there. And so I'm not quite sure, I'm not clear about what relationship the Tourism Bureau had with the Chamber of Commerce, but to me that's another huge entity that they're working towards the same thing. So I would say whatever alignment could be bridged there between us and them would be good too, and try to make sure we're all working towards a common purpose. But.
Thank you.
Great. All right. Are there any follow-up questions from anyone?
Maybe mention the PWAB position?
Okay. We have already told them that because we won't be able to seat everyone, that we'll just constantly be pestering them for things that come up in the future. But if you'd like to make a specific push, like for the Finance Committee or Public Works Advisory Board, and really other entities too, like the Chamber is a great one to get involved with. If your business is already a member, they're in a renewal phase as well, and they're looking for board members and folks to volunteer there as well. That one does kind of work together with tourism. But yeah, that's
thanks,
good idea.
Yeah. All good.
All right, great. Dana, so we have two positions for the hotelier member at large, and then one position for the hotelier member at large and one for the member at large. And so we have a ballot here to go ahead and cast that, and we can go ahead and do that right now and pass it to you. Okay, any other? I beg your pardon? Certainly. Thanks very much, you guys. If it's, you're more comfortable sitting out in the audience instead of waiting, that'd be fine, too. Thank you. Thanks again for...
I'm fine.
All right. Really, there's couldn't have gone wrong with any of that.
And I guess that's what Dana's telling. I think that sometimes just we should just comment that sometimes we can expand the boards and add new members, but in this case we cannot expand the board because it's created through the law and this the structure of the TBID. So even though we might want to add someone, we can't. Which is we like to do.
And the great opportunity then, you know, at least for this board, then there's, you know, if their interest remains, then, you know, they'd be able to apply again. Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
No, we're set. So I will read first the votes for the hotelier member at large. Councilmember Smuckler voted for Maggie Jurin. Councilmember Heading voted for Maggie Jurin. Mayor Irons voted for Paresh Patel. Councilmember Makowetsky voted for Maggie Jurin. And Councilmember Johnson voted for Maggie Jurin. Maggie Jurin is appointed to fill a current vacancy for the remainder of a term ending January 31st, 2019.
Congratulations. Thank you, Mr. Patel.
And then for the member-at-large position, Councilmember Smuckler voted for Paul Van Buren. Councilmember Heading voted for Paul Van Buren. Mayor Irons voted for Paul Van Buren. Councilmember Makowetsky voted for Paul Van Buren. And Councilmember Johnson voted for Paul Van Buren. So Mr. Van Buren is appointed to fill a current vacancy for a term ending January 31st, 2019.
All right. Well, congratulations, and thank you all very much for coming out, and we look forward to all the work ahead for all of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Joel, Paul, Mr. Patel, Maggie, thank you.
And I guess we'll just hear when we are supposed to show up.
And our city clerk will contact you. Okay, and with that, folks, for our audience, we'll just take a short recess, and then we'll come back in a minute, and we'll get started on our the next part of our special meeting, which is our budget study session. So we'll take a short recess.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, AGP. Welcome back, everyone. We're back with our special meeting, and we're moving on to our next agenda item, which was our fiscal year 2016-17 budget study session. And this will be the second part of our first part that's taken place, and we've got the working phase that's before us, and we'll turn it over to Mr. Buckingham, and we'll get started on this. Thanks very much.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this session is to provide the council and residents an update on changes made to the draft budget that was presented to you last week in a study session. Only intend to brief any changes that were made to that budget and answer some of the questions that were asked, not to regurgitate that whole presentation. And then we do intend to, when the budget is presented for adoption at the June 14th council meeting, provide an overview of the budget, maybe not the same detail we went in last week, but ensure that we provide an overview of the budget
for the community. Thank you. So we've been working on the budget for a while, and last week you had budget study session number one. This is study session number two, and it appears that we're on track to present the budget for adoption at the June 14th council meeting. The agenda for today, last week, as you know, we went through the budget in detail. Again, when it's presented for adoption next week, we'll provide sort of a mid-level overview of the budget to make sure the whole community hears a good overview of it. In this session, I intend to do three things with you. One is identify changes made to the budget since it was presented last week. Number two is to address some specific council or public comments and questions that were asked last week. And then third is to confirm with you the one-time goal-related spending to be included in the final budget to be adopted. So we'll take your input on that and put it into the final document for week after next. So I have three pages. We've been quite deliberate about this. Want to make sure that we're very clear and transparent. Have three pages of changes to cover. Some are minute and some are more significant, but just do want to be very clear and transparent. So in the back of the room, and each of you had and were distributed, a red line change to the budget letter. So that those red line changes are what I'm going to note here. So change number one on page 10, we added a fuller explanation of city revenues and their basis, and that was added, three or four paragraphs to the letter, and just to sort of flesh that out. Change number two on page 12, the budget now contains language documenting your direction to make a $5,000 contribution to HomeShare SLO from the Housing and Lieu Fund. That is not a change to the general fund budget. Doesn't affect the general fund budget. It's just an expense out of the Housing and Lieu Fund for this year. Change number three, also on page 12, is we added several additional examples. There are already some examples in there of the City Manager Opportunity Fund, some of the things that that went to cover this year. Change number four, on page 17, it was simply a typo. There were two sentences that were identical, so we deleted the one of them. Two bullets were identical. Change number five on page 21, added two comments in the water and sewer fund sections. Noting that the city audit for fiscal year 15-16 will specifically address the debt coverage ratio for the water fund, and we completely anticipate that that issue will be corrected let me phrase it this way. That issue was corrected when we raised the water and sewer rates last summer, and our auditor will confirm that for us when they look at this previous year's budget. And secondly, we added a sentence or two highlighting the utility discount program just to make sure that that was clearly noted. Change number six on pages 20 and 21, we had a long section to the budget letter providing an overview of the WRF capital project budget. As you've noted, in the budget letter, we call out some specific funds and parts of the budget to focus on, and others we don't go into as much detail on every year. Based on some of the questions and input last week, I added a specific section on the WRF capital budget. Change number seven provided some minor clarifying language in the Measure Q section. No changes to Measure Q expenditures. Change number eight on page 23, it changed a section that was called one-time spending and governmental impact fees. Took out all the one-time spending discussion in there and just focused on, explained what governmental impact fees were. Because change number nine, we added a specific section called goal-related spending. Instead of calling it one-time spending, we called it goal-related spending, and that refers to attachment three, where we identify all 88 of your objectives for this year and where the spending for those is coming from. Change number 10 corrected a set of typos in the MOU that it was incorrectly typed 2.5% possible COLA this year. It was actually 2.25%. We presented 2.25%. I just had a typo in the letter and we corrected that. And then change number 11, this is actually on the parking in lieu detail sheet, which you have copies of, and there's copies in the back of the room. There was an error. It showed that there were almost $400,000 of expenses to that fund this year. That was incorrect. The actual expenses this year were $79,000 to that fund, and that was for the work done on the Triangle parking lot and that area. Okay, so that is the changes. I'll maybe I'll just go through the comments because these comments are going to address some of your other questions too, and then we'll take a pause there for any questions. So a number of pages of comments here. One comment was to provide a fuller projection of revenues, and that was done in the letter. Next was to identify major variances from the FY 15-16 budget. Some of those variances were already noted in the budget letter. Additional ones were added, specifically the triple flip. And so a number of I think that question was answered by adding some additional language in the budget letter. Noted that the hotel community is planning for a hefty 10-12% increase in TOT and expects the tourism division to ensure that happens. We're looking forward to partnering with the tourism community to do the very best we can. I will say that 10-12% is a steep hill to climb. We'll try to climb it. There was a comment about acronyms and a fuller explanation of some of the more arcane items with regard to WERF expenses, and those were fully detailed in the addition to the budget letter, the whole additional section on the WERF capital spending this year. There's some good comments about benchmarking with similar cities. Going forward, we'll ask the Citizens Finance Committee to compare this current budget over this coming year and to do some benchmarking with other cities to help inform next year's budget. Next, there is some question and comment on review and reporting on city investments. The investment policy actually does require a monthly review, and that's a staff review, and staff does do that. The policy that's the only requirement, is that it be reviewed, and staff does that. What we intend to do is have the Finance Committee review that quarterly also, our investment performance. And so we'll recommend that we slightly modify that policy just to say that the Citizens Finance Committee should look at that quarterly. There was a request for improved reporting on WERF costs, and we believe we captured that in the budget letter. Thank you. There's some discussion on vacation time off policy. We had a little bit of a discussion on that at the meeting last week, and I'll look forward to working on that more this year as we go forward, both from the executive level and down to the MOU level. That is not something that is currently a discussion item in our MOU negotiations for this year. A question on Measure Q debt financing. And whether or not to use to do debt financing for streets. The current direction of the council to the staff is to wait until after the November 2016 election, which will likely have a streets financing measure on it, before asking the question again and investigating again whether or not to do a streets financing measure. I shouldn't say measure, a streets financing decision at the city level. Some discussion on the 41 and Main overpass mural. Staff is very aware and excited about that, and will ensure that that is part of the conversation as we continue to go forward with 41 and Main planning. There's a question about the $373,000 expense shown in the Park and Lou Fund, and I noted previously that that was corrected. There's also been some discussion about there's actually two other things. There is a council resolution in place that directs that $399,000 of parking in lieu be designated for the Triangle parking lot. Staff will take a closer look at that and come back to you of whether that resolution needs to stand or whether it could be rescinded. We actually did spend almost $80,000 on that parking lot this year, so that would now be reduced to about $300,000. One other thing to do with parking in lieu is that we did not print all of the notes that are normally at the bottom of each of those budget detail sheets. We'll likely print those for the final budget, so you have those notes on there. That's sort of our historical record. One of the notes in there is that $500,000 of parking in lieu funds were used to purchase the Front Street Brannigan's property way back in the day. And when that property was sold, then that should have been refunded to the parking in lieu fund. Our assessment is that when we repurchased that property this year, instead of taking $500,000 and putting it back into the parking in lieu fund, one of the things we actually gained was $500,000 parking lot. And so we have effectively invested the $500,000 from parking in lieu in order to purchase the parking lot there at the corner of Pacific and Market. Should we do something in the future with that parking lot besides parking, then we would need to revisit refunding parking in lieu with that. And we'll put that in the notes, and again, likely we'll print the notes with the final budget. There was a discussion on a home share $5,000 request, and that is in the final draft or final budget for approval. Two final comments. There's a comment about providing examples of previous uses of the city manager opportunity fund, and that was included and added to the budget letter. And then finally, and also addressed earlier, is how will we know when or if the debt coverage ratio in the water fund is being met? And as I mentioned briefly a moment ago, the audit of this year, the current year, the 15-16 audit, will look in detail at that and will likely confirm for us that's happening. Finally, and put on here, there's a few other items that we'll add to the final budget, a few resolutions, nothing new, nothing that changes any spending, but there are a few additional resolutions that we could add to the back of the budget. The Cloisters North Point resolution, that has some impact on finances. There's one budget page that doesn't have an explanatory page. I forget what, oh, it's the utility discount page, doesn't have an explanatory page, so we'll do a little explanatory page for that. And so there'll be a few other, shouldn't say cosmetic, but filling out the record items that we'll put in the final budget, but none of those change the actual spending. So the only changes to any really numbers from what you heard last week and the community provided input on is a commitment to gift $5,000 from housing in lieu to the home share slow, and then the correction on the parking in lieu page showing $79,000 of expenditure this year, not $373,000. With that, I'll take a pause there, I think, Mr. Mayor, for any questions or on any of that, and then we can go into the goal-related spending.
Great. Any questions or comments at this point? Christine?
Hi, great. Yes, thanks briefly, and welcome to everyone tonight to the second session. So just a quick follow-up on three items that changed. The WRF detailed information that went into the budget letter, I appreciate that, and I think I'll be looking forward to feedback from the community on that item. I think that that's a good start to have it in the budget, and it was requested by the public. It's nice to see it there. Wanted to just confirm for those wondering about streets who are watching, we're not going to do... My understanding is we're moving forward with a community-wide street summit discussion before November. So is that correct?
If yes, we could get that, so we could talk about it. Absolutely. The street
summit
will be this summer.
So we could just flesh that out a little bit. Right.
I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page, that the previous direction staff received from the council at large, a vote of the council, was to delay any additional consideration of a streets financing proposal until after the November 16 election, so we would know the results of the SLOCOG streets self-help initiative.
Right. So then at the street summit that's happening in the summer, we'll be discussing again, sort of rounding, gathering everybody in to talk about streets, and then also providing information about the ballot measure and what that would or would could mean for us in terms of streets. That will be. I'm just confirming that it's going to all be rolled into the street summit.
Yes, we'll have to be.
We will, information.
We'll, yes,
not
the city
direction.
Will provide great information on the ballot measure,
right.
Not
okay.
Advocacy.
Oh right, no, exactly.
Yeah.
Or have someone come again to
right.
Speak to it. But I just would. We're not. I just wanted to confirm that we're not doing nothing about the streets at this point. We're continuing to budget for our repairs and moving forward, and we're just delaying our decision on street financing. So I just wanted to confirm
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, and in fact. Okay. Increased our spending on streets 13% over last year, so we're
okay.
Not only not doing nothing, we're actually increasing our spending.
Okay, great. And then one last thing. When you mentioned the comment and public comment about the TOT forecasted by hoteliers, just remind me again what the city is forecasting in our budget figure, what we say TOT will increase to be.
Our baseline forecast is 5% a year for the next few years, that I believe actually in the long-term forecast reducing to 3% a year. I could be wrong on that. I don't have that offhand. This year's budget, we're forecasting 5.5%.
Okay. Great. And I think it says something, too, for everyone's hard work that went into it, that we're at the second session, and really there are no substantive changes in the actual budget itself. So that's congratulations to everyone. And we're fortunate to have you work through the budget like this. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt. Ned? John? No? Okay. No, the only additional question I have, thanks for covering the debt coverage ratio comment. And I know it's covered in the budget letter and the audit that took place. As far as kind of a legacy accounting for that, how will that be accounted for the next year as far as identifying, is that debt coverage ratio going to be covered through another budget finance audit? Is that going to be able to clarify that?
Our annual audit will always look at that.
Okay.
And that's how we knew that we were unhealthy for the 20 previous years, as the audit every year said we're unhealthy.
Okay, thanks. I wanted to thank you for all the additions and the notes the parking lot conversation as far as the $500,000 that was supposed to be paid back and that we purchased a parking lot. How is that trued up? Was there an appraised value for that parking lot?
There was.
Is it trued up that way? Was it on the plus side, the minus side?
Amazingly enough, the appraised value for that parking lot was exactly $500,000.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. Cool. I appreciated the adopted versus amended column on here. That it might be tiny, but appreciated that. And those are my only comments. Noah?
Yeah. Thanks. I just want to follow up on your point about the parking lot and just want to hear a bit more detail about how we're going to formalize that in the record to ensure that that question is, if it's ever raised, we have good, clear information, including the audit detailed and available. So we could never be accused of fudging that in any way because it is a pretty sensitive topic.
It'll go in the notes section of the budget page, and that's why we'll print that notes section and have it part of the budget of record this year. And that's where it has been tracked in previous years. So it was just a note on the bottom of each budget page. In fact, you have the handout now, I think.
Yeah,
if you look at
the
parking and loo page, it actually has the printed notes there. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of has been the normal way to track things like that in the budget. I'm actually not – we need to have a conversation. I'm not sure that is the best way to track those sort of things. There's probably a more – formal way to do that through a resolution, through minute item or something. But that's the way we've done it before. We'll make sure we capture it there this year. And then I think it would be what I'll just say that I like to normally capture things in a little firmer fashion, and so most things we'll do that way.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't. I'm glad we're doing that. I was thinking more in terms of even retaining a copy of the audit or a digital version of that audit. You know, some of the details that confirms and assures that exchange was clean, and I know it was. But you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, if that question were to come up, it might be a handy piece of the record.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah.
I have one more follow-up question on that.
Just a great point. We'll just add a section to the budget resolution that says those things, that says, you know, there was a $500,000 due out, and the city justified that by, and we can refer to the actual appraisal.
And so for the future, not that I guess anything could happen, but if the parking lot was sold, then we would be able to ensure that if it was sold, that those funds would go back into the parking in lieu and not into the general fund. I think that's something that is we have the responsibility of tracking as well. And so how we tie those together, I'm sure we can come back with that. Okay, good.
Great.
Thanks, great discussion. Okay, Mr. Buckingham, thank you.
Okay. Oh, boy, that is hard to see, isn't it? Okay, well, that's right, because they're not looking anyway, and you guys all have it on here. So we only have two more slides to look at anyway. I don't think I provided you a very good legend. So the first one is this one, and it's the Christmas slide. It has green writing on top and red writing on the bottom. That's this one right here. So there are a total of 6, 7, 8, 9. There are a total of 11 of our objectives for this year that are not otherwise addressed in the budget, either with specific money put against them or because they can be accomplished with staff time. Those, and so we need to identify how we might fund those 11 items, and that's what this attempts to do, and here's our recommendation. So these first six, each of these objectives could be legitimately funded out of the government impact fees fund, which currently is nearly $500,000. Will be by the end of this year, I think a little bit over actually. And so so these six items are, and again, these are previously adopted by the council as objectives for this year. ADA compliance improvements, traffic calming, for, I'll give you the dollar cost estimate too. These are estimates. So up to $40,000 of ADA compliance improvements, up to $25,000 of traffic calming projects, up to $15,000 for community beautification projects, perhaps about $75,000, and notice my tone change there. It's not up to, it's perhaps, and so those are things we're actually going to need to go research and come back to you for approval to do. So, in fact, I'll just stop right there. The top three, what we recommend that you do is confirm those tonight, and then with the adopted budget, give the staff the authority to execute those, and that is to execute, again, up to $40,000 in ADA compliance, up to $25,000 in traffic calming, and up to $15,000 in community beautification. The next three are items that need a little bit more research, staff needs to do some more work on, and we're not sure that that we want to do take that big of a bite out of the government impact fee budget right now. And so those are perhaps $75,000 for public meeting broadcast improvements. That is additional and better, replacing old equipment that's being used behind us by AGP to broadcast these meetings. Perhaps $100,000 for City Hall functional improvements. That is once the servers are moved out of City Hall to the fire station, both for that area and for the front office where our community comes to get customer service, to improve those areas from a functionality perspective especially, so there's better customer service and so the server room there can actually be used by workers, by employees. And then perhaps $50,000 for Vets Hall renovation planning. So those three are on your goals. We need to, if we're going to accomplish them this year, they're going to need some money. But we don't, we're not requesting in the budget that you approve execution of this. Each one of those, we will come back to you with a plan, with a budget, and say, actually, the public meeting broadcast improvements, we need three of these kind of cameras and two of these kind of boards and eight of these kind of widgets, and that's going to cost $63,000, and then ask you for permission to execute that then. So the top three, we're asking permission to execute now. The bottom three will come back to you for permission to actually execute. Turning to the next page, there's five more items. The first one is bike needs. There is sufficient funds in the local transportation fund bike section of the budget to do up to $15,000 of bike improvements. So recommend you, that's in green, recommend you give us permission to execute that now. We'll work with the bike committee, figure out what we want to spend $15,000 on, and then execute that. The next one is the Economic Development Strategic Plan implementation. That item can likely be accomplished with surplus funds in the risk management fund. But two issues is, one, we don't have the Economic Development Strategic Plan back yet, so we don't know what's required for implementation. We're guessing maybe $50,000 worth of items. Two, we also want to take a little closer look at the risk management fund before we spend any money out of it, because there's a couple of hits coming to it from some ongoing risk risky things. So that one, like the first three or the bottom three on the first page, we will come back to you when the Economic Development Strategic Plan has come back. We'll do some assessment on it. We'll identify which projects from that we want to accomplish this year and come back and identify a source of funds, likely the risk management fund, but not sure, and come back to you then for approval to do that. And then the bottom three are essentially, I'm not sure yet, we're not sure yet, budget transparency, perhaps $15,000 to do that, but we still want to look at what system we would want to use to improve that, perhaps OpenGov or a similar web-based program. The second one is signs and branding. We're not going to be ready to do that until the Downtown Waterfront Strategic Plan is complete and has given us perhaps what our new logo and branding motif is. And so once that is done and we start to do some planning on what future signs and branding could look like, we'll come back and ask for funds then. And then finally, the Embarcadero sidewalk widening. That item is not budgeted. The results of the workshop last week were super positive. But we need to get through that process, through the workshop process, get some designs in from our consultant, and then begin to make an assessment on what the best way to actually execute that would be. Probably a phased approach, maybe a phased approach, and then figure out the costing of that, and then come back to you with recommendations on what to do and where to pay for it. So what our recommendation is that, going back to the first page, that you give the staff authority to execute the top three items, ADA compliance improvements, traffic calming, and community beautification, for a total of $80,000 out of the government impact fees fund. And then only the first one on the second page, which is bike needs, $15,000 from the LTF bike fund. That's it.
I have just one quick question for you. At least on the handout for the Vets Hall renovation planning, it's identifies $50,000, and on our initial sheet that came out that we had last week, it was $5,000 for planning. Just want to make sure the initial slide from last week. I've got it here. I had to check. It says $5,000, and this one says $50,000. So I just wanted to double check where we're at on that.
We had a misprint on one of them, and I can't remember which one I added the zero to.
Is it one for the landscaping part of it?
This was just for planning. As I look at the slide from the 24th.
Rob? I think we're more in the 50 category than the 5 category.
Yeah, 5,000 probably doesn't buy us a week's worth of work from a design professional. So I would expect it to be more on the 50,000
side. I think I just left a zero off out in the first send and then corrected it when I looked back at the base document.
Okay. All right. Those are the only questions I have. Noah, did you have a question on that?
Yes, I think we confirmed that the expenditure for the lawn removal and the landscape improvement plan there, I think, was budgeted at $15,000, but that's a separate line item within the other parts of the budget. Am I correct on that? The CLIP program? Yes. Is that it? No. I don't think so.
I don't recall when we discussed.
So is the landscape the work for the lawn removal and renovation outside of the Vets Hall? Would that be an additional in the future? I saw that floating around in the
yes, that did not include the lawn renovation, that $50,000. That was just for the kind of the space planning and the architectural work that would be needed for that space. And I believe that CLIP program has been already previously budgeted, and that money's been allocated.
Yeah, part of capital improvements, maybe.
Yes.
Okay. I know we have been talking about that for quite a while, and I'm pretty sure it's funded in another portion of the budget, that particular component. But
I actually think that was that one of the items off the Beautification and Heritage Committee's list?
It's also on that list.
Yeah.
So it might be rolled into that.
part of.
So it may be that that would be some of the $15,000 on the Community Beautification and Heritage Committee's work list.
Okay. I'm going to make a note to myself to try to look back through the budget, because I think it may also be funded in another portion, but we may want to just confirm that between now and the next hearing.
Okay. Matt? Christine? John?
Yeah. I know, but...
Not on here. Thank you, by the way, for capturing, in essence, everything. I appreciate that. The question I have is the remaining potential variances in the budget, in my mind, in terms of impact, may well be what happens with the MOU with regard to salaries and benefits.
Right.
Do we have a sense of plus minus, and I know we haven't completed the process as of yet, but obviously that could be potentially very large. Do we have a sense of a magnitude of plus minus and what that may well be?
Probably don't want to have too much of the negotiation
discussion. I do understand that,
In this setting. I'll say that we've budgeted for 2.25% COLA, that is a very fair COLA based on the actual CPI numbers over the past 3 months. And so I think we should be fairly close, that anything above 2.25% we will need to go and look for additional funds for. And if there are, if it was much over 2.25%, then we would have to go back to the not to the drawing board, but we would have to go back to the budget, and what I would do is I would slow down execution on a certain number of things, of normal budget items, that were approved. Slow down execution, and then see where we are with as revenues come in. And probably make a decision at mid-year whether we needed to amend or how we needed to amend the budget.
Yeah, and I guess maybe to be a little bit clearer about the intent of my question is that this is, in looking over this budget compared to last year, a very, very, very tight budget in terms of actually the intent and meeting the intent of what you've described now as the revenue portion and expenses. And that number, in my mind, doesn't have a lot of wiggle room to add to funding some of these initiatives that we're talking about here with capital projects, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Anything to my left now? Thanks for that. Just one more follow-up. I know not to beat this horse particularly, but the parking in lieu fund, since we do have this budget has really brought forward a lot of detail that, you know, it's been developed over the last couple of years, which has been great to reference on. I know we've discussed some of the notes. Maybe we should be considering some sort of resolution that identifies that parking in lieu fund on all the different levels, so it's particularly tied to that parking lot. You know, if it's 10 years, 15 years down the road, if by chance that parking lot were to be sold, at least in a resolution in the budget, it would be identified that any sale, those funds would go back into parking in lieu. You know, I think we might be able to put some thought to that, but, you know, we're still kind of figuring out how we'd want to identify or memorialize that particular fund. So I just want to throw that out there, and we can probably think about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think perhaps a good way to do that is to include it in the budget resolution for this year, which memorializes it, but it also doesn't. We tend to have a separate resolution for almost anything in the city, and want to be careful about that too. But I think rolling it into the budget resolution is a great way to capture and memorialize it.
Okay, great. Thanks. There's no further discussions. Christine, Matt, seeing none. No, we'll go for public comment at this point.
Thank you. At this point, we will open up for public comment. For those who would like to speak to this item, please come forward. Seeing none, thank you very much. And we'll close public comment and bring it back to council for further discussion. And right now, we do have a recommendation for to finalize the input. We don't necessarily need a motion at this point. This will be coming back to us in a regular city council meeting for adoption. And any particular notes that were taken at this point would be included.
I just think that I wanted to respond. I didn't get a chance to respond yet. That I do agree with the goal-based spending that as staff has laid out. So I think that makes good sense. I'm not sure we had a chance to respond to that yet.
I'm sorry. Which one?
I am responding to.
These last two slides.
We discussed.
Confirm those.
Yes, yeah. I just wanted to confirm that I'm on board with the direction that we're headed with that, and would like to. I'm comfortable with as laid out by staff.
I would agree, and it's good to confirm that amongst all of us. You know, we're all agreeing with the budget so far, but I think that's one detail we want to have confirmation on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
Any other comments, Matt, on that list? Confirmed on that, the way the list is proposed, or the rest of everybody? All right, we got a thumbs up and head nod, so we're good to go. With that, unless there's any further comments, this could.
I just have one thought. Maybe we could recess till 10:59, then have a motion to go past 11.
I don't think so at this point, but if that concludes the meeting, we would. Are there any further comments from staff other than that particular one? No. Okay, great. With that, we'd conclude our and adjourn the meeting. And appreciate the workshop and the great budget.
Great.
Thanks.